Doran, there's someone you wanted to credit for this draft?
Well, I mean, it's Omar Khan and Andy White. I think that was very obvious whenever we're somewhat teasing to it, but just how patient they were. They kind of have their feel, even last year, of what they want to do and how they want to do it and how the draft is going to unfold. And whenever you're in those rooms, it's not just about you. And I think everybody knows that. It's about what are the other 31 teams going to do and how is that going to affect you? And do you make the right moves at the right time? It's like playing blackjack. And it's like, all right, do I double? Am I feeling it? Or do I hold off because I think that the dealer is going to have a blackjack and I'm going to lose all my money? They have a very good feel for the draft and how patient they were for these players. I think seriously, it's amazing that they got the guys that they wanted. And I think we all can agree that these are the guys that they wanted for the whole time throughout this offseason heading into this draft. But they got them without having to reach. They didn't have to reach. And there's a lot of us that said, I'll trade up now. You know, Powers Johnson, where did he end up going? He went to the Raiders, I think. It's like, okay, like, who's going to be next? Somebody else is going to take a center. Go trade up. Like, no. They're like, no. He's going
to – They let it come to them.
Our guys are going to fall. Faltanu, going to fall. He's going to come to us. Like, they just did a fantastic job of being patient and knowing the draft board, not just theirs, but every other team, so they can get the right guys at the right time.
And that was the talk last year, too. I remember having Mike DeFabo on, and DeFabo did a really good piece on Andy Weidel, and there were people quoted there saying, he knows what everyone's up to in the draft. And – from what I heard, Mike Tomlin wanted to take Joey Porter Jr. in the first round. And they told him, and we would guess specifically Andy Weidel told him, no, man, we can get Broderick Jones, and then we can get Joey Porter Jr. in the second round. And lo and behold, that's what happens. And I think both guys have big-time star potential. Think about these two drafts, man. And I know that this year's class has yet to play a football game. And there's going to be trials, tribulations, ups and downs. I get it. You get it more than most, Doran, because you played in the darn NFL and you played college football and you know what the jump is and how difficult that can be. Troy Faltanu, Zach Frazier, Roman Wilson, Peyton Wilson. Four guys that all profile to play and play early for this team. You go to last year, Broderick Jones, Joey Porter Jr., Keanu Benton, Darnell Washington, Nick Herbig, who made maybe the defensive play of the year, certainly at the time, against the Seattle Seahawks. I would say Omar Khan and Andy Weidel are 2 for 2 on drafts.
Yep.
And it would be hard, I think, to argue otherwise. And so someone texts in at 412-928-9370. All right, the Steelers want to play physical football. Who is the last team that won a championship playing that style? Well, look at Philadelphia.
Right.
When Philadelphia won it in 2017, they were so good on both lines that they lost an MVP candidate at quarterback and won with Nick Foles. And he made plays in the Super Bowl, don't get me wrong, but Carson Wentz was the MVP of the league until he got hurt. And they didn't miss a beat without him because they mauled people. Well, Andy Weidel had something to do with that. I think about Cleveland and how they built in the trenches. And they had five quarterbacks last year. They wind up winning 11 football games because they're built in the trenches. I look at Kansas City. Why did they lose the Super Bowl to the 49? Excuse me, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Well, Patrick Mahomes didn't have time to throw, so they beefed up the offensive line. Okay, now they're a champion, and yeah, you have to have Patrick Mahomes, but they've given him an opportunity. The Steelers are in a position this year to be able to run the football both with scheme and with the talent they have up front in a way that they haven't in a long time, and they should be in position to protect their quarterbacks the way they haven't been able to since the likes of DeCastro and Marquise Pouncey were here.
And, like, let's not overlook, okay, like, what has – winning a Super Bowl, that's one thing, and, you know, for the Eagles, but they got back with a different regime, but still the same regime up front with Jalen Hurts. They didn't win the Super Bowl, but they got back. I mean, even – let's not overlook that, and we do this all the time, and, you know, rightfully so in ways, but San Francisco – they do a lot of great things schematically, and they have a lot of great players, but we overlook talking about how good their offensive line really is. Like, that got them to the Super Bowl. Like, this, okay, they didn't win, but these teams know that if you protect up front, then it gives you the best chance. And it goes back to football 101 back in the day. Like, that's where it starts. And that's one thing that football hasn't changed, is that you need to be able to block up front in order to have success. So the Steelers, you know, if they're, you know, 70% running and 30% passing, so be it. But they will be able to at least protect and at least be able to move guys.
Yeah, I never felt like they had a roster plan, and I never felt like they had good game planning whenever you had Matt Canada here, not to beat a dead horse on that. And now it's very clear that they've invested now into what they want to be. Oh, we wanted to smash people. Okay, we'll hire the offensive coordinator that in Tennessee smashed people. We want to smash people. Okay, well, Dan Moore Jr. is our starting left tackle and Mason Cole's the center. All right, well, now you've upgraded potentially at both of those positions. You look at the best lines in the NFL last season, Doran, according to Pro Football Focus. Detroit went to the NFC Championship game and could have won the NFC Championship game with Jared Goff at quarterback. And I'm not trying to kill the guy, but I don't look at him as an upper echelon quarterback in the NFL. Their line was the second-ranked line in PFF last year. There's a correlation there, man. Yep. Why were they so good? Secondary wasn't. Defense at times, not very good. They mauled people up front, and they gave their quarterback time to throw. You need to, if you don't have an elite quarterback, you need an offensive line that's going to get the job done for you. And that's how I view these Steelers. Russell Wilson is an upgraded quarterback. Does that mean he's going to be very good? Not necessarily. He's just better than what they had. He's not elite. You need to help him. I think you help him by protecting him, and that's what they're going to do here. Both he and Justin Fields, they hold on to the ball for a minute now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're going to take their sacks. Well, you've just given them maybe an extra half a second, and that's going to potentially make a huge difference for them.
And, I mean, you probably have the best 1-2 punch at running back. Like, you know, all the stuff that's happened this offseason, especially this draft, we talk about all the positions of need. We've been talking about it for weeks, and they addressed those. You know, there's still a question mark maybe at the receiver a little bit.
Yes.
But they've addressed most of the positions of need that they needed to address. And we haven't really talked about the running backs that much because we know what they are. We know that Jaylen Warren is a fantastic player. We know that Najee Harris, you know, ended up last year being the Najee Harris that we were expecting. So you could kind of – we pushed that aside a lot because there was other needs and other things to talk about. But whenever you think about it, now you've bolstered up front. We talked about the protection, but moving guys now and the way that Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren played together last year, like, how can you not love that? Like, how can you not love that they are pairing these young, tough offensive linemen with what you're going to hang your hat on? And that's probably the best running back tandem in the NFL. Probably, right?
I mean, it's right. It's up there for sure. I think less is more with both of those guys. And we talked about it last season. I think five of the six 100-yard games that Najee Harris has are in December, just over the course of his career. Well, now you give him the opportunity to be fresher later in the season with more of a split with he and Jaylen Warren. I said it even going into last year, man. I did not have a problem. The Steelers, even if Kenny took that jump, they weren't going to have an elite, elite, elite quarterback. So I was cool with them trying to zig when everyone else is zagging. It's a passing league. Look at how many offensive players went at the start of the draft. What was it, 14?
Mm-hmm.
All-time record from the start of the draft. 14 consecutive offensive players. And teams want to throw the ball all over the yard. You want to score points. The Steelers still don't have an elite, elite quarterback. They're zigging when other teams are zagging, and now they're doing it with the best possible personnel and with a guy who has called plays and done this at a high level before. That's why he got hired in Atlanta, Arthur Smith. So I like it even more now. If you're not gonna go out there, like, if they wanted to go five wide all the time and they just loaded up on receivers, okay, you need skill position dudes. But you're going to fight fire with fire with Joe Burrow, fire with fire with Patrick Mahomes, fire with Josh Allen and Buffalo. I don't think that was ever the best idea. And so they want to be this physical football team, and now they've got the personnel to be able to be that team.